Morning and Evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. September 2nd, morning. My physician. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Mark chapter 1, verse 30. This is an interesting little look into the home of an apostolic fisherman. We immediately see that household joys and cares are not a hindrance to the full work of the ministry. As a matter of fact, they furnish an opportunity for personally witnessing the Lord's gracious work on one's own family. They may even instruct the teacher better than any other earthly disciple could. True Christianity and household life go well together. Peter's house was probably a poor fisherman's hut. Yet the Lord of glory entered it, lodged there, and worked a miracle in it. If this book is being read this morning in a humble dwelling, let this fact encourage the residents to seek the company of King Jesus, who is more often in little huts than in rich palaces. Jesus is looking around your room now. He's waiting to be gracious. Sickness had entered Simon's house. Fever in a deadly form had prostrated his mother-in-law. When Jesus came, they told him of her affliction, and he hastened to the patient's bed. Is there any sickness in your home this morning? You will find Jesus is the best physician. Go to him. Tell him all about the problem. Immediately lay the case before him. It concerns one of his people, therefore it is not trivial to him. Observe that immediately the Savior restored the sick woman. No one can heal like Jesus. We may not be sure that the Lord will at once remove all disease from those we love. We do know, however, that believing prayer for the sick is often followed by restoration. James chapter 5, verse 15. If the person is not healed, we must bow to him who determines life and death. The tender heart of Jesus waits to hear our griefs. Let us pour them into his patient ear. September 2nd, evening. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. John chapter 4, verse 48. Craving for miracles was a symptom of the sick minds in our Lord's day. These people refused solid nourishment and sought mere marvels. They had no interest in the gospel they desperately needed. The miracles, which Jesus did not always choose to give, is what they eagerly demanded. Today, many must see signs and wonders or they will not believe. Some have said in their heart, "I must feel deep horror of soul or I will never believe in Jesus." But what if you never feel it? Probably you never will. Will you go to hell out of spite because God treated you differently? Another may say, "If I had a dream, or if I could feel a sudden tingle of I know not what, then I would believe." Thus, you undeserving mortals dream that my Lord is to be dictated to by you. You who are beggars at his gate asking for mercy, you want to write the rules and regulations as to how he will give that mercy? Do you think he will submit to this? My master is generous, but he has a right royal heart. He rejects all demands and maintains his sovereignty of action. If this is your case, my dear reader, why do you crave signs and wonders? Is not the gospel its own sign and wonder? Is not this the miracle of miracles? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Surely these precious words, "Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the solemn promise, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." John chapter 6, verse 37, are better than signs and wonders. A truthful Savior ought to be believed. He is truth itself. Why do you ask proof of the veracity of one who cannot lie?